Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's badlandsranch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. What if I told you weight loss is not about willpower, cutting carbs, or working harder in the gym, but instead comes down to flipping a specific switch in your body, one that helps flush out unnecessary calories? Heart surgeon and nutrition expert Dr. Stephen Gundry is revealing a new, simple, but insanely effective way to help get a slim, energized, and healthy body with no deprivation, restrictions, or fads. MCT Wellness can help you flip that switch yourself from the comfort of your own home. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy. Help unlock your body's potential by going to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Do Senmo. They tell you what they know.
Welcome to the Juice and Mo podcast. We are recording this on a Saturday night. The Kings go to LA, and oh boy, was it a roller coaster ride and a half for the Sacramento Kings. There's a lot of good, and then there was more bad. The Kings give up 131 points. They gave up a 21-0 run to start the fourth quarter, and they lose to AD and LeBron and JJ. The Lakers now 3-0. The Kings drop to 0-2 after falling 131-127. I'm Deuce. That's Mo. We're recording this from the San Francisco NBC Sports California studios with a lot to go over from tonight. Morgan Reagan, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I would have been doing better on a Saturday night if the Kings beat the Lakers. It's not even, it's how they lost it, right? Because look at us after they lost to Minnesota. We were good. We were like, oh, okay, there's things you got to fix, blah, blah, whatever. But with this, it just felt like they had it in their hands. Basketball's a game of runs. Yep. I get it. This whole game was a story of what the runs really did. And for the Lakers, you said it in that fourth quarter when they went on that 14-0 run, whatever it ended up being. You were like, oh, they won the game.
Yeah.
And there were still 10 minutes left, but it was, yeah.
And that run ballooned to 21-0. Oh. And I was telling Morgan, like, watching it, it just felt like, first of all, they closed the third quarter great. Lakers were going a little bit of run. You had Fox hit those two threes. And you're like, okay, you got the lead going into the fourth quarter. You should feel pretty good about where you're at. Like, let's capitalize and see what happens. The Kings led going into the fourth 94-87. Then, you know, Connect hits a three. LeBron hits a three. LeBron scores again. Dude. And then all of a sudden it's 94, 95, 94. And I'm thinking, it's a good time for a timeout. I don't care if it's been 30 seconds. But then it goes to a 14-0 run before Mike Brown takes a timeout. It's 101-94 at the 9:57 mark, just like that 14-0 run in a little over 2 minutes. And you got to take a timeout quicker. And I know it's like, hey, you got to trust the players to figure it out. Just go get stops. So it's sometimes the guys got to figure it out. In that moment, it's like they felt like they had all the confidence. I just, let's take a timeout and talk over some shit real fast.
I needed a timeout even in that moment. Like, and I needed a timeout.
And then, so then it's 14-0, and then it goes to 21, and at that point, you're like, it's over. And the Kings, to their credit, like, they got back in the game. DeRozan got going. I love seeing DeRozan knock down some big shots. He had a big fourth quarter. Sabonis played his ass off tonight. But it just felt like it was a stretch that could have been prevented with the timeout. And the other thing
could have been prevented.
Sabonis has to come in sooner. Sabonis was killing those guys tonight. And then you wait to put him back in until that huge run. And that's what's unfortunate tonight. It felt like another game, so back-to-back games, where you go, Kings probably should have won that game, or at least, I'm going to say they should have won tonight. They should have won tonight.
Of course you're going to say that. And I even asked you after the first game, I said, how many times are you going to say that this season? And already we're 2-for-2.
Yeah.
And it's understandable, but you also have to, I think you and I are both fair enough to be look at this Lakers team and be like, whoa, like they're different.
Yes,
they're good.
Sure.
I mean, they have two future Hall of Famers, all the things, right? Like, and we'll get more into that. But at the same time,
I'm not ready to give the Lakers love at this moment of the podcast.
Well, anyway, so we'll do that in 5 minutes. So we'll complain until then. But it's the same thing that I did say on the postgame show. And I said, take a breath, though. We are in game two. The only reason why I still do get to say that, because even you saying, oh, Sabonis should have been in quicker. Oh, Mike Brown should have taken, like, even for a coach, like, you're still understanding and learning what you need to do early on in the season as well.
Sure. When I'm talking about this game, this is just one game I'm talking about. Yep. I'm not suggesting the sky is falling if the season is over on the cusp of falling apart. I'm not suggesting that at this point. But what I'm saying is, it's not every game that you allow a 21-0 run. And this is coming off the heels of a game against Minnesota where, you know, you didn't close the third quarter well, right? And then the fourth quarter got a little stagnant. There were better moments tonight, actually. I felt like there were better moments. I thought the Kings had moments of playing great defense. I'm looking at the end of the game tonight. This team had 22 deflections. DeMar DeRozan had 6 deflections.
Dude.
Kevin Huerter had 6 deflections
His
tonight.
Was there.
They were handsy. They were forcing turnovers. They're getting out and running 31 fast break points. I can hype those numbers all day, but how do you have these moments playing brilliant defense and then a moment where it completely falls apart? And why I'm bringing this up is, you're right, it's easy. It's early in the season.
Sure.
Take a breath,
sure.
Blah, blah, blah. But this team, most of this team has played together for some time, and you have a veteran in DeMar DeRozan. I expect more from this group, this veteran group, to get out of a little run, like get out of a funk.
And that is fair. And also, Keegan Murray watch makes one of the best points ever. We haven't won since April.
Yeah. Yeah. Kings Warriors. Last time the Kings won a game.
It's such a it's like when you say it like that, it's like, oh, that's awful. No, but going back to even what you were saying about some of the good, and you talk about some of the deflections, and obviously Mike Brown, the way that he preaches defense and wants these active hands, wants people to be physical and aggressive.
Does he?
Oh, I know exactly. Oh, he preaches defense, but then he didn't play Keon Ellis? Is that where you're going to go?
Yeah, I want to go there real fast.
Is that where you were going?
Yes. Okay. Good job. Good job. Okay, Keon Ellis.
You like to complain. Just complain.
Morgan, tonight, I'm going to say this real fast before I get to Keon. The Kings scored 127 points tonight, okay? 50% shooting. After taking only 29 threes last game, they took like, let's see the final number. Kings end up taking in this game 44.
Okay.
So 34% from three. They shoot 25 free throws. I mentioned the fast break points, 31. Those are winning, like, offensive numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They got crushed on the glass tonight, and they couldn't get stops. When you allow a Lakers team, after having good stretches of defense, to score 44 points in the fourth quarter.
That was bad.
Anthony Davis and LeBron James in the fourth quarter were 11 for 11 for 29 points. That includes 4-4 from downtown. AD hit that big three late to like really seal it for them. They did enough to win this game, but it's the details. And when you are in this ultra-competitive Western Conference, mm-hmm. every game matters. Correct. Every game matters.
And that is a fair point. And having the high standards of being like, ooh, well, you got to figure it out. I understand it. But at the same time, when you also look at the Lakers roster, you go, they're in a very run-it-back look with a lot of their same guys. The Kings, it's a lot of different pieces on this. There are
there's one big piece in DeMar, and I get why that's been.
But there are pieces that are gone. I mean, you think about the pieces that are gone that Mike Brown was trying to.
The majority of your guys are here. Fox, Keegan, Sabonis, Lyles.
Shut the hell up. But, I mean, you think about even when he was trying to get Sasha in the rotation, he was trying to get Chris Duarte in the rotation. I'm not acting like it's a completely different roster. I'm just saying there was different things on this roster, and there's different things that he was trying to do and integrate different players. And right now, you're seeing a team and a coach where he is trying to integrate players, or a player specifically in Kevin Huerter, who had an injury last year and who couldn't figure out a flow. And the way that he's trying to play him is taking time away from someone like Keon Ellis, who played a lot of minutes last year and showed a lot of promise and made an impact on the defensive end especially, and was not a liability on the offensive end. So yes, at times it can be confusing, and especially in a loss, but if they didn't lose, what's so sad is that we wouldn't be talking about this, but I think you and I would bring up the fact that Keon Ellis didn't play, but we would also be like, what's going on? This isn't good, because the guy's going to need more opportunity, so then he's not just getting thrown in there 30 games in and getting DMPs until then. Am I right about that?
I mean, Keon just can't be getting DMPs. I mean, last game we're talking about, he's got to get more than 11 minutes. Sure. I understand, to your point, the minutes changing. You're trying to get Huerter going. And Huerter had some moments tonight offensively where, like, okay, this is why you let him. He's 4 of 7 from downtown. And he had, like I mentioned, 6 deflections. I thought he did a good job from a team defensive standpoint, playing the passing lanes, start of the fourth quarter. JJ's adjustment was, all right, LeBron, let's get you switched with Huerter on you, and let's go at him. And so then Huerter, of course, ends up coming out of the game. But Keon, you look at what his impact was on the defense.
Absolutely.
The Kings were 14th in defensive rating last year. After the All-Star break, they were 9th. From March 1st on, 24-game sample size, this team was 3rd in defensive rating. That it's not going to say that's all Keon, but Keon had a huge part in that. So I just think for this basketball team, like, Keon Ellis is like a winning basketball player that I think any playoff team would play him.
And let's make this point as well. I mean, we talk about Mike Brown saying after the first game, I don't want to be playing my starters 40 minutes a game. And then tonight, please give me what the starters played.
Keegan played 40. DeRozan played 37. Sabonis played 37. Fox played 41. And Fox didn't look all the way right tonight. Like, I don't know if it was like he was tired or like his, you know, he took that knee from DiVincenzo last game against Minnesota. But yeah, they leaned heavy again on those guys.
Yeah.
So he played Lyles a few more minutes. He randomly played Jordan McLaughlin tonight. For three minutes.
And again, those 3 minutes when we've seen Keon Ellis play in that backup point guard position in that role, why wasn't that Keon's opportunity? Why wasn't that those Keon minutes? I have nothing against J-Mac. I actually like what he provided in the preseason as well. But when Keon Ellis is getting DMPs, I completely understand it.
It's confusing because it's not, again, I can acknowledge the minutes are going to shift. It's not just the fact that Kevin's back. You also added DeMar DeRozan. Like, you have Malik Monk back. Like, there's only so many minutes. You're guard heavy. But, like, this is only going to further complicate things when, like, Devin Carter comes back. So, like, you know, it's a long way to go before that. But it's just, I think Keon needs, legitimate minutes, and DNPCD not going to get it. I'm not saying, oh, if he plays, they're for sure winning this game. No. Here's what I do know. Like, the Kings, you saw, like, what they were able to do defensively at times tonight without him on the floor. I think that's only enhanced further with him on the floor, and the Kings are at their best when they get out and push. And I think that brings it to the next point. They had the 31 fast break points, but it still, they had this issue. I mean, really, I think that this has been an issue, but it's been showing a lot in the first two games. It's just how clunky the half court offense is, right?
It's not flowing like I think we all thought it was going to flow, but it doesn't have anything to tell me if I'm wrong. I don't think it's so much the spacing. I think it's the flow. I think it's the rhythm. It's the pace.
I agree.
It's like the spacing's there. They can get it out to someone in the corner, but it's the way that, like, for example, let's even say De'Aaron has the ball. We're seeing him go straight into an action rather than playing freely and getting into the paint.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like a tough balance too, because I think you want, like, part of what DeMar is really good at is, like, give him the ball, let him create, let him go get a bucket. And I mean, he did that tonight. He ends up with 23 points on 9 of 12 shooting, knocked down a couple of threes late, and that was really good to see, you know, kept the Kings in it. But you're right, in the half court, the decision making is like, it's like almost he's caught in between sometimes,
yeah,
where it's like he wants to go iso, but he's like, oh, we gotta move the ball. Like, he's not totally used to playing the style of basketball. Like, I don't know. It's just, there was one play where, like, he dribbled towards Sabonis where, like, AD was right there. It was just no spacing whatsoever. There was another play where he and Keegan were, like, bunched up in the same corner.
Sure.
And it just seems like he's, at this point, and sometimes in the half court, not always in the right spots. And I think his decision-making has to be quicker. He plays at his own pace, and I think that's going to be beneficial. He gets to the line. That's going to be beneficial. He can hit the mid-range. There's so much he does well out there, but I think the half-court offense is not, from a chemistry standpoint, not there yet.
And that's something that I feel like can grow and can evolve, especially because you have a smart player, a veteran player that is, again, I always say egoless, and I think you have to be patient with that, but at the same time, it's just hard when you talk about the importance of every game, especially when you're playing against teams in the Western Conference and you need them to lose, especially some of these top teams. So frustrating with those parts. Another thing I want to talk about was Keegan Murray, because there was times where when he had that one dunk where he went strong to the rack to throw it down, you're like, this is in you. How much more can you do this? Remain aggressive. Keep playing that type of game. He missed a few shots, and I don't know, just things. I know you weren't too happy in the post game about him.
It's not even about that. Like, he missed some great looks from three tonight. He was 2 of 7. I want that to just be more consistent. You know, like, it seems like, you know, going back to last year, he was so inconsistent with his 3-point shooting.
Uh-huh.
First game of the season, he's 5 of 10. I'm not expecting him to be a 50% 3-point shooter, but, you know, he's gotten some good looks. I think for me, it's the start of this game tonight, because we spent so much time talking about the 21-0 run in the fourth quarter, but the Kings had to dig themselves out of the hole early too.
Sure.
And in large part, that was just like the Kings.
They didn't look ready.
They weren't matching the intensity the Lakers played with. By the way, a Lakers team that's on the second half of back-to-back, that rallied back from 20 last night against Phoenix, and they were crashing the offensive glass. They were playing physical, like Rui was playing physical, Max Christie crashing in for offensive rebounds. The final numbers were 13-5 offensive rebounds, and that's just deflating, right? And I bring up Keegan because Keegan was the team's leading rebounder against Minnesota with 11, and Sabonis didn't get much help tonight on the rebounding.
Sure.
Like, Sabonis was a monster. We haven't talked about Sabonis
yet.
We'll get there. And that'll be some of the good we talk about.
Yeah.
He had 12 rebounds tonight. The next closest was 5.
For De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, De'Aaron Fox.
Not
Keegan had 4.
Yeah.
DeRozan had Harrison Barnes zero.
Yeah.
You know, like,
especially when you're out rebounded by the Lakers, you need someone like Keegan Murray to do all those extra little things, especially if he's not hitting those threes, you know? And I can see why you were disappointed. I know some people in the chat are also are just kind of like, wait, but I don't get why he wasn't playing in that fourth quarter. Why is he sitting out for half that fourth quarter? I think Trey Lyles got some of those minutes in that fourth, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, Mike Brown liked what he was seeing from him being aggressive. Was that in the fourth?
According to my notes, Keegan played, he started the fourth, and then he got out at the 9:57 mark, came back at 8:18. I mean, okay. He played 40 minutes tonight. I think he ended up... He was near the team lead in
so
minutes
then
tonight.
He wasn't even sitting much.
I want to see him. I think finding ways to keep him involved, and this is something that's been a theme going back to last year, is like, got to get him some touches. He also had a tough matchup dealing with LeBron, too. I mean, we've spent so much time talking about other things. LeBron's a freak, dude.
Yeah.
39 years old.
But it's not even
how
that.
Does
it's
he
like,
do this?
It's like the fact that he can get to the rim, sure. Like, you see him go downhill from the half court, and you're like, holy shit, no one's going to stop him. He didn't even need to do that tonight. It was the way that his step back middies were disgusting. And then on top of that, knocking down those threes in the fourth quarter, he was just feeling it. He was flowing. And it's not even like there wasn't enough pressure on him, because like you said, Keegan did everything he could. I think the most frustrating times on defense is when you saw like D'Lo or Rui get something, right? You know, you even know like Austin Reeves is going to move without the basketball. He's going to be crafty. He's going to get into the paint. But to slow down LeBron and AD, it's going to be a tough challenge. And they were just both beastly out there.
LeBron had 32 points, 14 rebounds, 10 assists, 4 of 9 from downtown. AD finished with 31 points, 9 rebounds, 10 of 15 shooting, 10 for 13 from the free throw line for AD. Also had a couple of blocks. I mean, AD's off to an insane start. 3 straight games with 30 or more. They want him to be like the focal point. They've wanted that for a few years, and it feels like they're finally getting that from him, because JJ Redick is running an offense that is getting great looks for these guys, and AD's just a problem. That's the thing. The AD Sabonis matchup tonight, I thought Sabonis did a hell of a job tonight. Sabonis on both ends battled his ass off.
He did, and I think if you're looking for a positive, you know, his consistency of just battling through, and especially battling through 2 first quarter fouls, right?
Yeah.
The fact that he stayed with everything, was able to stay on the floor, remain aggressive, but was disciplined when it came to trying to play with his chest, trying to stay vertical. So him on the defensive end, he did everything he could there, battling the boards, not getting much help from his teammates. And then on the offensive end, like you said, the way that he would go at people at the rim, didn't matter if they were taller than him, it didn't matter if they were stronger than him, he was going to find a way to throw it down and get the 2.
Yeah, AD got it going late, you know, and Sabonis, I thought, had the best. I mean, Sabonis was going at this guy.
Yep.
And how about that? The dunk he had early, the Eurostep jam on AD.
Shit.
AD is a really damn good defensive player.
Uh-huh.
He's got length and size, and Sabonis just goes at him.
Yeah.
He played physical. He was banging around. I just thought he was fantastic in this game. One of my favorite plays from in the early third quarter is when he went drove hard on AD, kind of lowered his shoulder a bit to create space, finish, falls on the ground. He gets his ass back up, sprints down the court, and blocks LeBron.
Yeah, it was impressive. I mean, he never gave up on a play. Could depend on his energy all throughout, and to lead by example like that, I just thought was fantastic. Think about too, when the Lakers went on that fourth quarter run, wasn't he out to start that?
Yeah, that was the other thing that killed me about it. Cause like, yeah, Sabonis checks out of this game in the third quarter, it's 82-76 Sacramento. He comes back at the 9:57 mark of the fourth. It's 101-94 Lakers. And that's what I was talking about earlier. It's like, waited till 14-0 to call a timeout.
Yeah.
And then
I get it.
The game, and then that's when you put Sabonis in. It's just like, dude, this guy was killing them tonight. He was playing with such force. This is one of my favorite Sabonis games he's had. I thought just his strength. Also, how about him? They lost the game, so you're not thinking about this too much. He had a big three in the fourth quarter when they're making a comeback in the corner.
A huge three.
He shot with confidence from the corner. And
a huge three. He ended with a triple-double. I mean, he was asked about his triple-double after the game, and he was just like, I don't give a shit. It's not fun when there's not a W next to it. It's a loss. So, what do you want me to say? I'm a competitor. And, he was the positive thing of this game. He was consistent all the way through. Alex Len got a few minutes. He ended up shooting a three, a corner three.
He was not very good tonight.
No, he was very, chaotic.
Yeah.
Just, even the ball, when it was thrown at his ankles, he's kind of on the floor, on the ground with it. It did feel like there was a lot of chaos throughout this game on both sides. But the Kings...
That fourth quarter was weird.
The Kings didn't... They only finished with 14 turnovers.
Yeah.
They only finished with 14 turnovers, but there was times when the ball was just flying this way, that way, or there'd be a few outlet passes that was just like, oh, shit, is that even going to get to them? And then they would end up being a beautiful play, or Malik Monk would make something of something in transition. And so there was those moments that I had that hope again, but the Kings, especially in the fourth, felt like they were just trading buckets.
Because Sacramento scored 33 points in the fourth quarter. That's a great number, 33. They gave up 44, including 21 straight. Unbelievable. Can we get some comments from the people watching us live? Appreciate you guys being here late on a Saturday night. If you haven't done it yet, hit the thumbs up and subscribe. We love you. Matthew says, based on the score of this game, there was not much D played by either team, but I only saw some of the latter parts. Yeah, definitely not in the fourth quarter. The Kings had some moments. In the third quarter, I'm going, this team is playing physical. They're playing fast. They're creating turnovers. This is Kings basketball, but they haven't been able to sustain that for a long period of time, especially at that beginning of the fourth. PK says Sabonis is locked in this year. Absolutely. Bouncing around. There's stuff I wanted to read, but sorry. Let's see.
Oh, you're okay.
Lakers are feeling themselves right now. Wolves also lost to them. Partly JJ Redick hype. Players seem like they're playing for him right now. Hey, they are. I mean, look, people wanted to clown JJ, like, oh, he's a podcaster turned coach. It's like, no, he's a smart player. Like, he knows the game. Yeah. And, then you have to be able to connect with these guys. And early on in the season, I think he has given all those guys more life because it's a fun style to play. When you're moving the ball and cutting and passing.
And he has the respect from the best player on the team.
Well, that's the thing. LeBron goes to a huddle, and, we've seen the clips, Darvin Ham not being able to drop a play or something, and LeBron's looking at it like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, JJ knows what he's doing. So that respect matters. Well, also helps that JJ has LeBron and AD. That's a great foundation. Breaking news.
But, you say it's a great foundation, but it is funny because you think about what it was last year and, someone like Darvin Ham couldn't even make the most out of it. And anyway, I don't want to shit on Darvin Ham because I don't think he's awful or anything, but I also think it's very difficult to coach LeBron James unless LeBron James wants you to coach him. So, JJ and that team, it's a fun style of basketball. There was a few times the ball was just slinging, and I'm like, oh, shit, they look good.
Living Proof says Fox needs to be held accountable by Mike Brown, the coaching staff. Him coasting is unacceptable. I don't think he was coasting tonight.
De'Aaron?
No, I didn't think he was coasting tonight. But
No.
There were times I'm looking at him like, I don't feel like he looked right to me. No. And this is another thing we've talked about before. It's two games in a season. You're like, okay, I know he's not in the injury report. He took that knee from DiVincenzo last game. Like, was that affecting him? He looked like he was laboring.
He's going to say he's perfectly fine.
I get it, but that's where you go. Hey, Mike, you got other players you got to trust in it. You got DeRozan now. If maybe you don't have to play Fox 41 minutes, if he's not feeling right. Or hey, you're not in a position to do this right now being 0-2. But if there's points in the season where you're like, man, if I give him an off day here, we don't play again until this day.
Yeah.
We can give him a good 4 days rest or something.
Back to back Monday and Tuesday. So maybe you look at that little span of time if needed again, these guys are competitors and want to play through so much, but you have to understand too when it also knocks you back a step in a long season.
Someone asked, would Orlando Robinson be getting minutes right now if he wasn't injured? You know, I have no idea because, but I do remember Mike saying he had a great camp before the injury, so it's possible. Yeah, that's, I don't know.
Someone says, JJ was trashing Fox and Sabonis for 2 years and they didn't respond. Disappointed.
I think Sabonis responded quite well in this game. And Fox did end up with 28 points, 10 assists, 5 rebounds, 9 of 20 shooting, 3 of 10 from downtown. Yeah, 7 of 8 from the free throw line. He also had 2 steals. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't think it was like one of Fox's best games ever. I think he made some defensive mistakes.
But you saw the way, too, that he finished off the third quarter and, you know,
a couple threes,
back-to-back threes. And he just looked strong and he was feeling good. And in those moments, you know, especially in the second half, you're like, okay, I see it now. Yeah. I mean, that's when it matters most, but I guess it matters most in the fourth, but nobody was getting stops in the fourth.
Yeah, Domas was fantastic. 4C Bar says, any thoughts on why the three-point shots aren't falling? Yeah, 15 of 44 tonight, 34%.
They took 44, though.
They took 44, which I think is, everyone's like, okay, that's great because I think at the half they had 25 three-point attempts. They had 29 in the first game. 29 would be, you know, last in the NBA. You know, I can't tell you why they don't draw. I mean, I think they got some great looks. And if you're open, you like to trust that you can knock them down. Like, again, Keegan was 5 of 10 in game one. Well, he missed some wide open ones tonight.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. I'm not a shooting doctor, unfortunately.
You're not?
No, I wish I was.
Doctor,
because
what does he need to do?
The doctor would diagnose my shot like, hey, that shot's in hospice. It's over. Like, it's broke. It's gone. Pull the plug. Your shot is done.
Jesus.
DeRozan did hit threes. Yeah. Yeah. What are some other things we need to hit on with this game?
I know I'm trying to think.
Ask questions away, too. We appreciate you guys being here in the chat. I'm trying to see if there's anything else in my notes.
How are we on free throws? What do we do?
25 free throw attempts.
Yeah.
It's a good number. Good number. Yep. You know, they averaged 20 a game last year. So first game, they go 35 free throws. Tonight, 25. And they were 22 of 25, 88%.
Fast break points.
Yeah, I hit on that a bit early, but I love that number. 31 fast break points. It's a fantastic number.
Yeah.
It's a winning number.
And they looked good in transition, too.
Yeah. They look fantastic. And that's what, when you get stops and deflections and you push the pace, it's doing that consistently. And it's also tougher to do that when you're, you know, LeBron scoring and then you're inbounding and then it goes off Kevin Herter's fingertips out of bounds. And it's a, you know, like,
yeah,
it just felt like all these momentum shifting plays in the fourth quarter. And that's what it comes down to. Last game, it was the end of the third and a chunk of the fourth. And you're like, ugh, you lost by two. And tonight, you lose by 4 points. You allowed a 21-0 run and you lost by 4 points. So it's like, yeah. And I feel like we had this game last year. This was a game last year, like, hey, if the run's on 21, and that's why it's so frustrating.
I was going to ask.
Your own too.
I was going to ask, why is it? Because, you know, I think about how I felt after Minnesota and then how I felt after this. I felt heartbroken a little bit after this one. Well, I mean, it's the Lakers.
Here's how I view it from my perspective is, the expectations are higher now, okay? You missed the playoffs last year. You add DeMar DeRozan. You like your squad. You know, you want to come out of the gate strong. The last thing you want to do in the West is dig yourself a hole.
Yeah.
An 0-2 hole, it's not like your season's done, but, like, you look at the team that you just lost to tonight. The Lakers look really good right now. They're 3-0, and they look like they're together. They're playing hard. They've got great vibes. That's no doubt about it, right? And so That's tough. And then, you know, Minnesota wins again tonight. The West is just stacked. The West is just a real challenge, you know.
I wish they played Bronny tonight, you know.
Well, if that turned into a 42-0 run, they probably would have played him. But, yeah.
Yeah, damn it.
Yeah, I mean, the panic button's not out, but it's you know, like some of the issues they're having right now are, you know, defensively allowing a 44-point fourth quarter, and it's like, yeah, you could use another big body to be thrown at like LeBron or AD, and you just don't have those guys. And so that becomes a roster thing. And then we talked about the Keon Ellis thing. You know, I'm not suggesting Keon is checking AD or LeBron, no, but like his presence out there. Like, he's very good at diagnosing and reading situations and digging for the ball and help defense and deflections. Like, he's the type of player that makes winning plays out there.
I don't feel panicked at all. You know, I think, you know, even when we talk about the flaws exposed and everything, and especially, again, it's the second game of the season.
Right.
And I guess where I keep going back to, and I'm fine if none of you even agree with this, because it's just what I see and what I'm watching. I'm watching some really good basketball being played in
stretches.
There we go. In stretches.
Okay.
And in the bad moments, I'm never questioning the effort or what this team can't do. It's more what I've seen, especially from these last two teams, the adjustments that these last two teams are making, and they're two good teams. You know what I mean? Now, let's get into Monday, and you're playing the Blazers, and this shit's happening. Oh, no, my
Morgan,
hand's hovering the panic button.
Morgan.
What?
These next few games... It's take care of business.
Blazers, Jazz, huh?
You hate when I do this game. I'm gonna bring up the Kings schedule.
I mean,
and I'm gonna tell you something.
I hate when you do this. You do this game. Like, I don't have a choice.
The Kings' next four opponents: home for Portland, at Utah. That's a back to back. At Atlanta, at Toronto. You got to win the next four, and that's not ridiculous to say. Like, if you're a good team, you have to beat Portland. Embarrassed you in the preseason, whatever. But they also, I wiped that away, whatever. I remember a game early last year, November last year, when the Kings went to Portland. They were all banged up, and the Kings got destroyed by them. And I remember doing pre- and post-game with you that night that was just embarrassing, right?
Yeah.
So, like, hey, you have a good opportunity here to, like, all right, you're playing a Portland team that, you know, competed against the Pelicans last night. They play again, the Pelicans again tomorrow. They lost it at the end with a BI jumper, and then Zion destroyed, was it Anthony Simons?
Oh my.
At the end. Unbelievable.
That was
wild. You need to beat Portland at home. Like, what are we talking about here? And Utah, you got to beat Utah. Like, saw them against the Warriors last night. They're not a good, like, they're not in your, shouldn't be in your.
You say all this too, but I will say this really quick. You think about what we did see in the preseason.
No, I don't care.
I'm just talking about when it came to length.
Yeah.
And that was bothersome for the Sacramento Kings. But I'm with you. What did you see? Make those adjustments that you get to play your style. You get to play your game, even if this length did bother you in a game before.
Yeah. And here's the thing. You let's say you do win the next four games.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and if you look at their next six games, you throw Miami, and then they have Toronto again. Toronto's not a good team. Like, if you can get your stuff together against some of these teams and build some confidence and continuity, you know, and chemistry in the half court against some of these lesser teams, then maybe when, you know, the schedule, you know, kicks back up again, you're playing some of these tough teams, you're in a better rhythm. You've learned each other a little more. Like, yeah, like, but it's a wake up time. Like, Portland needs to be a take care of business game. Portland needs to be like, we can't be here on Monday night going, man, that was way too close. They squeaked it out. Like,
and it's our Halloween episode.
It's our Halloween episode.
So,
for
like,
sure.
And we're going to be in Halloween costumes. So
yeah, if they lose and we have to wear Halloween costumes on night chat,
what
would be embarrassing.
That would be super embarrassing.
But, yeah, like, they need to, they need to, like, dominate Portland.
Yeah.
So you're not playing guys so many minutes. And then you get ready for Utah the next night. They can be okay. But the last two games, there have been some moments like, tonight hurt more than the opening night for me.
Absolutely.
I know. We got more of the pod coming up. We should mention that tonight's episode presented by our friends over at Mother.
Mother. I am definitely going to Mother on Wednesday when I have the day off.
That's a win.
Yes, exactly, because I need to feel good about my life. And Mother is some of the best food in Sacramento. It's located on K Street in the best location. And the best thing about them, too,
yeah,
you can go pregame with your mother. And I'm talking about at Mother. It's 50% off all drinks before every single Kings game. And I say before, it's on a Kings game day, basically, right? Home or away.
You got to check out mothersacramento.com. Mother is a fantastic restaurant. I highly recommend you go there. You talk about Sacramento to its core.
Yep.
Great ingredients, fresh.
Oh my God.
What a menu. It's at 2319 K Street, Mother Sacramento. Check it out today. We're also presented by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. We are one. It pays to be a Golden One member if you're a Kings fan. You become a Golden One member, you get some awesome perks. How about up to 50% off Kings home games through the Golden One's online discount ticket portal?
Yeah, and you can get 15% off merch when you use your Golden One card at the Kings team store. And not only that, though, you guys, it's like you see all these perks, all the percentages and everything. You know, at the games, when they say, okay, if you're a member, raise your card up, just like that, you could be relocated to some better seats than what you're sitting in at that moment. So there's just so many different, as the lights go off, so
it's
there's
get
just
dark in here, isn't
so
it?
Many different perks and opportunities when you are a Golden One member. We are one.
Yes. So become a member today. GoldenOne.com. Also presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. If you need new windows on your house, or you're like, oh, the wintertime's approaching. Oh, no. My HVAC system's not ready. I need it tuned up. You go to them. Or maybe you need a new one. Or you go, I need energy efficient windows. Don't waste your time.
Don't waste your time.
Go to the experts and trust the experts over at Northwest Exteriors and northwestexteriors.com.
All the blinking lights, how much I love it.
Our lighting's changed so much, and now it's really bright in here again.
You know, I do have Northwest Exterior windows that have some tint on them. Could really use them right about now.
But seriously, go to Northwest Exteriors. They are a local company. They don't outsource anywhere else. Everyone who's worked there has been there for years.
Great people.
Local, local. Northwest Exteriors, because Morgan Reagan, they are.
Simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Chat, I have a question for you. Who would you guys Who would you guys say should be the Simply the Best player of the game tonight, presented by Northwest Exteriors?
Did you actually give it to a Kings player?
We'll find out, huh? I want to know what the people are saying first, and be honest.
Yeah.
Who do you guys think should be the player of the game tonight?
Let's see. They're about to come in.
Catter says the 21-0 run was bad for the 21 and for the O, not just Braun and AD, but the Kings need to score during that time. It's not just D, it's also O. Absolutely. And sometimes, you know what you need to do is, we got timeout. Let's talk it over.
You know what everyone's saying.
Who?
Domas Sabonis. I don't know what I was going to, was I going to sing with that?
LeBron getting some mention. Okay.
Deserved. That's Keon Ellis, someone said. Hey!
I went with Domas Sabonis tonight because I know the Kings didn't look great in that fourth quarter, but he was not a part of that 14-0 run.
No,
okay?
He was not.
This guy was an absolute force tonight. 29 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists, 10 of 14 shooting. He was 8 of 9 at the free throw line. He also had a block. We should also mention, with a triple-double, he's in NBA history now. It's pretty amazing.
Well, didn't they even say that to him in the post-game?
They did, and he wanted nothing to do with it, but he ended up tying Larry Bird for 10th all-time in triple-doubles, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, his 59th career triple-double tonight. He's now tied with Larry Bird for the 10th most triple-doubles in NBA history. That's Domantas Sabonis, our Simply the Best player of the game, presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors.
So underappreciated.
LeBron also had a triple-double tonight.
He sure did.
Yeah. Some really awesome individual performances tonight, and that's
truly
where we go with the Kings, too. On the other end, you know, they had three guys with 20 or more. You get three guys with 20 or more, you like your chances. But, like, that's two games in a row where they've had that, and they've lost. That reminds me of back in the day when the Kings had three players average 20 or more, and they weren't very good in Rudy Gay, Isaiah Thomas, and DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, no, you don't want to go back there. You don't want to bring us back there. But you're exactly right when you do see that even scoring along your team. But it's not translating into the W's.
Yep.
It's scary. But there's still a lot of positive. I even thought there's positives from seeing Kevin Huerter back for a second game with all the deflections, with the effort defensively. Even when you saw the Lakers hunting him out, and there was times like, oh, shit, they got him. And then it's like he was active.
Nice plays on Austin Reeves, too. Yep. Like, yeah, I thought – and look, when Kevin's knocking down shots and – he's not going to be a lockdown defender. We know this by now. But if he can play some good team defense and have active hands, he's got good length, right? He's got good size at 6'7", and he's knocking down shots. I'm cool with him playing. It's when, like, oh, you're not knocking down shots and you are just being hunted possession after possession after possession. That's what hurts you. But, yeah, I'm with you. It was encouraging to see him knock down 4 threes, 4 or 7 from downtown.
And then Trey Lyles also being back. And just, he just looked more.
He didn't look as good later in the game, but, yeah.
I know.
He's just getting back. You have That's two guys that are just getting back. Yes. Kevin didn't play for 7 months. You know, Lyles had the groin issue, too. Why am I saying that word?
Groin?
You know who else is funny is KC, and I feel like I was saying it like him. Groin.
Groin.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Goroin.
I don't know how I was saying. It's I was groin. Saying it weird.
You got it.
Anyway. Yeah. So, look, it's not. There's definitely things you can point to that were good in this game. There are moments where you were like, "Dude, okay, they're figuring it out." It's just hard to acknowledge sometimes when you see what we saw in that run, and that's the reality. Like, yes, we saw good moments. From that Keegan Murray jam he had, that was nice. Sabonis, awesome. DeRozan had some big shots down the stretch.
Struts? I wish it was Monday.
Why?
I just want to forget about this one.
I do, too. Oh, I do, too.
That's where I'm kind of at that point right now where I'm just like, just not as fun of a night as I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And I could have had fun even if they lost. I really could. It's just, again, it's how they lost.
Free throw attempts were better. You're right, John. So were the fast break points, like we mentioned. There were good things in this game, but you got to be able to guard in this league. Got to be able to guard. And then you have to be able to, like, handle a little adversity. Oh, no, LeBron hits a couple of shots. Connect hits a shot. Oh, guess what? You shake it off and let's go make a play. Let's go get a bucket. Let's get to the line. Let's score. Yep. Or, like, let's call timeout and be like, guys, let's lock in. Let's focus. What are we running here? Let's get someone a bucket. You're not a young team anymore. You know, you can justify these things. You're like, oh man, just you got all these young guys, they're learning. It's like, no, you've got guys who've been in it a minute. So figure it out. And guess what? Monday's a new day.
Monday.
Kings Blazers.
The beam will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that Monday the Kings will win. Just thinking about this Monday.
Yeah. Keep going.
What a way to prepare for Monday with post-game podcast.
So the start of it was like the third quarter for the Kings, and then the end was the 21-0 run.
I'm on the spot, dude. It's okay. I'm live. You sing something live right now. Go.
Why don't you give me a little beamless night?
It's a beamless night as I lay here sleepless. It's a beamless night and I'm waiting for you. There's no victories when you're not shining. And now my sky, mind is as dark as the sky. And maybe I don't even need you. And maybe I don't even want you. And maybe you're just nothing but a dream. Because it's a beamless night. As I lay here sleepless, it's a beamless night. And I'm waiting for you. I don't remember all the lyrics.
I love a little emo Morgan in my life.
Thank you.
I want to thank everyone for hanging out with us tonight. Including some of the people in the chat talking away. Shout out to our guy Kenneth too, who gifted 50 memberships.
Kenneth, hell yeah!
Appreciate you guys. Also, if you have not checked it out, we posted our full our live show from Harlow's on this YouTube channel. It was the night before King season when optimism was at its peak.
Oh, yeah.
So I think if you need a laugh tonight, if you need a laugh tomorrow, it might be a good spot to go. You think you'll enjoy it?
Maybe.
Why?
I mean, maybe.
And it's funny. It's a good.
You know what's so funny?
Job.
I keep telling Deuce. I go. Oh man, it's, you know, it's not going to be the same as it was for like the live audience. Like you can't really hear.
We've gotten
the
great
choir
feedback
as
on.
Much.
So you're being weird. I don't know why you downplay. It's actually kind of annoying. So go watch it. Did an awesome live show. People are like,
I mean,
the people watching got great feedback. You're like, yeah, but I don't know if it's going to be as good. How about you sell it? We're selling it. It's a good. It's good. Watch it.
I enjoyed it.
So we'll be back again Monday night. We're going to end this and drive back to Sacramento and think more about this King's loss. We love you guys, but we got to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. See ya.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know.